Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, not what is printed in the bulletin. It is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and verses 19 through 21. You can find it on page 5 in the Pew Bibles if you choose to follow along. Please listen for the Word of God. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there so your heart will be. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please bow with me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For those of you who were here on Wednesday for the Ash Wednesday service, we talked very little bit about Lent and what the purpose is behind that. We talked mostly about the changes that it brings for us, in us, and in those around us. This 40 days that we began on Wednesday, for Ash Wednesday, is a time for change. A time for something that is within you to become different. If you listen to all the Bible stories about this time period, those that go back from other Gospels, those that even go back to the book of Isaiah, when Israel was undergoing certain changes, there is a lot in there that talks about this period of time. What it is an opportunity for us to listen to the voice of God, to hear more clearly what is going on in our hearts and in our minds. Sometimes we lose that voice in the busyness of our general lives, the distractions, the TVs, the radios, our cell phones, the people in the store next to us. If you think about it, even 50 years ago, we don't even have to go back that far. We could go back to when I was in high school. You could be gone for hours. No one would ever know where you were, and they couldn't know how to reach you. Now, you can be in the bathroom, and your phone is ringing. Somebody's trying to call you while you're getting dressed or brushing your teeth. There is no time of day that you have to go into your room and shut the door and just be alone with God and with your prayers. Even though you're surrounded by people here, this is one of those places. When you come here, you are alone with God. We have shut the door, not to keep people out, but just so that there is a quiet sanctuary, a place where we can be. That is what Jesus was doing when he headed out into the desert for those 40 days. He went alone to prepare, to fast, to be with God in a place where he couldn't. If you think back to what those gospel stories tell us and all those parables, everywhere Jesus went, somebody was poking at him and calling him and asking him to do something or challenging him. Never a moment's peace. Now, for some, that would be a good thing. But every once in a while, we need to be able to go to a place where we can be alone and regroup and center ourselves and say, this is what I need to do. This is where my relationship with God needs to be. Well, on Wednesday night, we talked about the fact that Ash Wednesday for us symbolizes the beginning of this period, and that one of the first things we do at the start of Lent is to accept penance for the things that we have done that we are not proud of, the things that we have done that we want to change. Now, you know that all of you here, including me, Rosanna, I'm sure, will join me. We have all gone through periods of time, maybe not this year, but in previous years, where we said, this is what I'm going to do for Lent. I am going to give this up. I am going to start doing this. And I sometimes think that those Lent resolutions are just like our New Year's resolutions. We mean them when we say them. But 40 days seems to be a much more tolerable period of time. We can do something for 40 days that we may not be able to do for an entire year as we plan on January 1st. So approaching Wednesday, each of us sat down and thought, this is what I need to do. For some of us, what I like to do is, this is a behavior I would like to change. And it's not a behavior that I want to change just for 40 days. It's a new behavior that I want to assume, or a not-so-good behavior that I'd like to not have anymore. You'd like to try to be a little bit more patient. This is the time to do it. Listening to the voice of God. If you'd like to try to be a little bit more charitable, spend a little bit more time with the people who need your company and your presence, this is the time to do that. And if you have something that you've been doing that you're not quite so proud of, this is a good time to get rid of it. A good time to leave it behind, because you're doing it for the best reason possible. We are taking up the Word of God and bringing it into our life so that we are embodying the Word of God. Those ashes that we accepted on Wednesday night were a sign of that new beginning, a marking of that season. It's a spiritual discipline. But now we are in the first Sunday of Lent. We're already several days into the season of 40 days. We have already been assuming new behaviors. Have those behaviors been different for you? Have you felt something different as God moved through your life? Let us commit to this day, to one another and to God as a community of faith, that we will learn from the example that Jesus led for us. To be set aside when we need to be set aside, to pray when we need to pray, to fast when we need to fast, so that when the temptations of the devil come before us, we have the strength and the foundation and the faith to say, no. No, I will not do that. Just as Jesus did when he was in the desert. The invitation that we talked about on Wednesday, and I asked it out loud, and only one person, I think, was brave enough to say it out loud, because I know everyone else knew the answer. What is the invitation that Christ issues to us over and over and over again throughout his messages? Follow me. And he says it in different ways. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Today, take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. Some may see it as an invitation, some may see it as a command, but it is in fact a directive. Follow me. If you are following Jesus, it's very hard to go astray. although the disciples managed to find ways to do that over and over again, and I'm sure we do too. Follow me. If you look back at the scripture readings from the Gospel of Matthew that we looked at this morning, it sounds somewhat contradictory. We are here praying in public. When we got our ashes on Wednesday, we walked out of here. Most of us went straight home. But for those who went to worship services in the morning, they walked around all day with those ashes on their forehead. Contrary to what Jesus said? I don't think so. What he was looking at, as he looked at everything else he taught us, especially when he talked about the law, was that we do not live in a black and white world. The world we live in is very gray. He was looking at the motivation. Remember when he talked about the law and he said, "This is what I tell you. This is what you have learned. But I want you to do this, not just this." Today in the scripture reading, what we're hearing is, don't go out and do it so that you can be seen by others. So we're back once again to, what is your motivation? Why are you here? I would bet anything that none of you are here today because you don't want somebody else to say that you're not here. That's not why people come to church. It's not why we tithe. No one else knows what anyone else here is giving in a particular envelope, and those that do are not looking at it to judge you. Those that are helping out at Sunday school or in the nursery aren't doing it, hopefully, so someone will say, "Look at that. Every Sunday she's in the Sunday school with those children. Isn't that great?" They're doing it to serve God and to serve one another. That's what this Lenten season is all about. It gives us a very small block of time in which to decide how we can best serve God. What do we do day in and day out that gives glory to God? And some of us, we talked about it earlier in a different context, would have to be worried about where we were. It's a small world. You never know who you're going to be standing next to or sitting next to. And if we're not worried about what others see and hear, we should always be concerned about what our Heavenly Father sees and hears, even in secret. God is the one that we are giving glory to by our actions and by our words. God is the one that sets the example for us to follow, not our neighbors, although they may do that. But we're not keeping up with the Joneses here. That's not why we are here in this place in God's house this morning. We are here listening to the directives of Jesus to give alms, to pray, and to fast so that we can have that higher righteousness that Jesus talked about. He just doesn't want us to do it for the purpose of being seen doing so by others. That's what the warning is. Don't do it for the wrong reasons. Do it for the right reasons. Wherever you are in your life, there is always time to turn around and make a new beginning, to start a new action, to find a new place to be. And you know what that place is. None of us here needs to tell you that. You already know. As soon as this sermon started, you could think for yourself, this would be it for me. Okay. It's something you've already been thinking about. Here's a great reason to do it. What kind of a sacrifice are you willing to make for God? God has already made the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. Now, in the reading that Gretchen did earlier from the Gospel of Mark, we hear the story again about Barabbas and about Pontius Pilate. Talk about motivation and doing the right thing for the right reason. What is the answer that the scripture gives us? He wanted to please the crowd. So he was willing to have someone who wasn't found guilty of any crime crucified to please the crowd. Absolutely not giving glory to God. Wasn't even anywhere near his agenda. And neither was it for any of those people in that crowd. Jesus wraps up this famous sermon that he gives to the disciples saying that he wants you to store up treasures in heaven. Once again, when you're keeping up with the Joneses, you're worried about how big your house is, where did you get your furnishings from, and how many cars do you have? What kind of job do you have? But when you are storing up treasures for God, it's not about your cars or your houses, your clothes or your money. Because you've all seen that, I'm sure it's either a bumper sticker or something I've seen that says you can't take it with you. You're scurrying through all of those rat races to make money, paying our bills, absolutely, going on a vacation, absolutely, but not just to outdo your next door neighbors, not just to be doing it for the sake of being seen doing it. Where your treasure is, there also your heart shall be. Where is your treasure? In heaven or on earth? Is it somewhere where you can lose it in a second when the stock market goes? Or is it somewhere where it is in such safe keeping and such safe hands that nothing can touch it? Is it in your heart to be doing things for the glory of God? Or is it in your heart to be doing things for the satisfaction of your neighbors? Think about that. If our treasures are given to the poor, to the needy, to all those that Jesus put himself out for, then your treasure is stored up in heaven. The invitation has been issued, brothers and sisters. Take up your cross and follow me. What is your answer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.